Let's read it. Psalm 62. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. What I want us to look at is the cities of refuge tonight, this morning, and again this evening. Some more thoughts on them then. When God gave the laws to man, he saw fit to give the death penalty. Now, I'm not going to go into whether that should be so today. I've got myself into trouble in one place. I remember mentioned that, and quite an argument developed after the service. So, yeah. Anyhow, God saw fit to give the death penalty. And in Numbers 35, we read this. You shall take no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. But I don't believe there should be the death penalty in any country unless you've got that extra clause that if someone tells lies and gets somebody put to death, then that same sentence, the death sentence, should be on them as well. So if you get a bent copper who tries to get someone caught and they're taken and they die, then that copper should also die as well. I don't believe you should have the death penalty unless you've got that clause that liars who get anybody put to death, that becomes theirs as well. But then what if somebody killed somebody by accident? Well, God made provision for that as well. The cities of refuge. And we read about them. Should have worn my glasses. Numbers 35 we read. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. And they have six cities in all, three on either side of the river Jordan. So they were nicely spaced out for people who had accidentally killed someone to go to. And these cities had, on their way, the routes were to be regularly checked, and they were to make sure there was no blockages, no trees down over them, and they had to regularly check them and make sure the bridges weren't broken or anything like this. But the way was always made open for people to run to these cities, and there were signposts telling them at each crossroads which way to go to the nearest city of refuge. And then Deuteronomy 19 gives us the sort of occasion where one of these cities would be needed, or could be needed. And here we read again, this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the axe and strikes his neighbor so that he dies. He shall flee to one of these cities. So here you are, you've got two neighbors. Off they go to cut wood together. Good friends, you know, and they get on well and they enjoy their day. They put the axe in the block to have a bit of refreshment, you know, and then they come back again and do a little bit more work. And suddenly, as one is swinging the axe head goes off, and oh dear, the other partner doesn't feel too well. And there he is, dead. What have I done? Why didn't I check that axe head a little bit more? Oh no, but what about that man's brother? He's going to get me. I must run to one of these cities. You see, that man, the innocent man really, or he's partly innocent, but he's killed somebody and he's got to run to a city of refuge. And this man is a picture of us human beings. We have broken God's law intentionally and unintentionally. And we are guilty of every sin that we have committed. And one day we have to give an account to God, don't we? Yes, we have broken God's law. We are all guilty. We don't love our neighbour as we ourselves. That's the law. Summed up, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. We don't do that. And we certainly don't love our neighbour as ourselves. And there have been times before I was saved when I've wished people dead. You know, in the building site, people who've been bad with me, I thought, oh, I hope you trip off the ladder. You know, and things like that. And that's as bad as, you know, actually doing it, isn't it? In God's eyes, you know. So yeah, that's a picture of us. And we cannot grasp how just, how holy God is. And then that man's brother, he realizes his brother is dead and he realizes or feels it's his duty to kill the person who has killed his brother. And off he'll go pursuing that man who killed his brother because the axe head came off. And that man is called the Avenger of Blood. And this is a picture of God's justice. Because we have sinned against God, because we've done sins we didn't even know we were doing them, and also the ones that we know we have done, this is pursuing us, the judgment of God, and one day it's going to find us out, isn't it? So we finish the first part on reminding ourselves of the justice of God that is pursuing us all because of the wrong, the sin that we have committed against God. But there was a place for refuge for those people who had sinned in that way, but not doing it deliberately, not premeditated, thinking, I want to kill my neighbor. But no, by accident, they could flee to this place of refuge. And there is a place of refuge for us. Christ made it when he died on that cross for each one of us, didn't he? And the cities of refuge picture God's salvation. The sinner's only place of refuge is Jesus. The Bible makes it clear in Psalm 62, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. He only. He's the only one who can be a place of refuge. Acts 4 reminds us, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Buddha can't do it. Allah can't do it. No other God but Jesus, who people need to go to for salvation. And this refuge was for everybody. For all the people living in the land. Numbers 35, 15 reminds us, these cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them. Whoever they were in the land, this covers everybody, all could go to that city of refuge. The Lord Jesus says to people, I like this text, I use it often in the open air, a little message called invitation. Mary must be getting a bit fed up with that one, but I do like it. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The message is for everyone. That's why I feel I can go and proclaim this message wherever I feel I should go and tell the people. The cities were to be within reach of anyone. I smiled when I looked at that one. The maximum distance was going to be 32 miles for anybody. You know, if you're the farthest way in Israel from any of those lands, the farthest you could be away from any one of those cities was 32 miles. And then I thought, well, if I get a bloke after me with a knife who's wanting to catch me up and kill me, 32 miles is a pretty long trip. You just hope the bloke behind you is going to sprain his ankle or fall over or do something and can't run quite so fast as you, don't you? But I think people were a bit fitter in those days than we are today. And yet, they were meant to be within easy reach of anybody, maximum 32 miles. But hopefully, you're only sort of 6 miles or so away from one of those cities. The Lord Jesus is near. He is not far from each one of us, says Acts 17, around us. Waiting. In Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. It's nice to tell people he's not far away from you. If you're willing to seek, if you're willing to turn to him, he is there waiting. Anyone in need of this city had to flee there. You wouldn't stroll along as though you're on a little walk around town or out into the countryside, would you? You would run as fast as you could to those cities. I don't know your hearts. If you've never come to the Saviour, you need to flee, run to him who is waiting to save and bless. And the gates of these cities had to remain open day and night. All the other cities, they would close the doors or the gates of the city at sunset and open them again in the morning at sunrise. But no, the gates of these cities were to be open all the time. And that gate of salvation is open all the time for us to come and trust the Saviour as our Saviour. But one day, that door is going to close, isn't it? When I die, that's the end of opportunity to get right with God. No second chance after death. Oh no. Or if the Lord Jesus comes again, and we believe that is quite likely the way things are going in the world, although the wickedness and the earthquakes and the extremes of weather, and we could go on and on and on, and they're happening all the time. I don't believe it will be long before the Saviour comes again. And again, the door will close. We need to make sure we flee whilst the door is open. And we must never stop short of God's salvation, but make sure that we have come and trusted the Saviour and that we know we are safe. Just imagine you're that fleeing man running, and these cities were always on a hill, you know. You might have a 30-mile run all the way through flatland, and then, but because these cities had to be within sight, all of these cities were on a hill. So that last little bit, you know,
When you're really, really tired, you've got to run uphill to get to one of these cities. But you can just imagine yourself running up there. You're out of breath. You're afraid almost to look behind you in case the man's catching you up. And you get in. You go through the gates of the city and you fall down and you feel the dust of the city in your hand and you feel, I'm safe. I made it. Yes. Safe. Safe and secure. That's what we can say if we're a Christian. Devil, demon, nor angel can take that salvation away from us. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in that place. And then inside the city, the man would be questioned, and not, if not worthy of death, he was allowed to stay in the city. And he wasn't allowed out of that city. If he did go out, he was in danger of being caught by the avenger of blood. But he could go out after the death of the high priest. And he could go back to his family. And that slayer, the man pursuing him, was not allowed to touch him. He would be looked upon as a murderer if he killed anybody who went back home after the death of the high priest. But we know how our great high priest, the Lord Jesus, has died once for us. And we can go in and out and find pasture, the Bible tells us. And we're safe and secure in that eternal work of the Lord Jesus. And then in the cities, they always had to be well stocked up with food, so that they could stay there in safety and not starve because they were being cut off or anything like that. And also there had to be wells in these cities, so there was always plenty of water for the people to drink. The Lord is that provision when we have come into salvation. He's the bread, that living bread that we need to feed on him. And he gives us the strength, the help that we need every day as we feed on him. Our problem is we get lazy and we don't feed on him as we should be. We should be into the Word of God every day. I call it the quiet time, where I look into the Word and pray and keep in touch with the Savior and get the strength from the Word of God. Yet the Lord is that living bread, and the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, that the springs of living water that should be flowing out from our life to be a blessing to others. But before anything can flow out from my life, I've got to make sure it's flowing in continuously, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, every day to do the work the Lord wants us to do and to be the witness he wants us to be for himself. And 2 Peter reminds us, we've got everything we need for that holy life in God's salvation. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And the person would be expected to learn if they didn't have a trade, or to carry on their trade, whatever they were in that city. They had to work, not just treat it as a holiday or anything like that. Am I asking the Lord to show me what his work for me is? The Lord's got a plan for your life if you become a Christian, and he wants us to find that plan for our life, what he has planned for us to do. Are we saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? Is there something in the fellowship I can do for you? Something somewhere else? And we should be praying that prayer continuously, I believe, to keep in the will of God's plan for my life. But we must make sure that we have entered in. God, his salvation is the only place of refuge for us. I don't know your hearts. I pray that we have all entered in, and that Jesus is our refuge, and that we're enjoying life in that city of salvation, if you like, and seeking the Lord's will for us and feeding on him. Amen.